Let's talk tech.
Let's talk tech. So, welcome guys to episode 3 of season 2. Today we're going to be talking to Chidiozé about, should I reveal the topic now? Yes, about growth marketing. And just to remind you all, this is our day in the life series, so we're going to be having a very nice conversation about his career journey and other nice to knows about being a growth marketer. So without further ado, please, would you like to introduce yourself? Oh, sorry, wait, before you introduce yourself, my lovely co-host, would you like to say hi to the audience?
Yeah, hi everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I'm really looking forward to this conversation because this is something that I have been seeing a lot of job titles around it, and I've always been very interested in just exactly what it entails. So yeah, I'm really excited for today's episode, and join us on this journey.
Tell us about yourself. A little bit removed from growth marketing, just give us a little insight into you.
So my name is Chidi, of course. I like to think I'm a foodie, because one of the things that sparks joy for me is food. So I go great lengths to finding food, different recipes and delicacies, right? In fact, one of my goals for next year is to visit as many restaurants as possible and know restaurants' strongest points. I like going for Taco Tuesdays. I feel like the honest can be less. For me, food is the main thing.
When you wake up, you're thinking, what's for breakfast? After breakfast, you're thinking, what's for lunch? After lunch, you're thinking, what am I going to have for dinner? And damn, that's my last meal of the day.
So when I find people who see food, I just eat, I'm like, wow, that'd be nice. Apart from that, I am an Arsenal fan. I'm currently
So now this season you're all brave to say you're Arsenal fans. Before you just said, oh, I like football, or he wouldn't even mention football. But now, and then you know, okay, he feels with his chest he can say I'm an Arsenal fan. Okay, fine, whatever.
I feel like Arsenal fans are some of the most patient people in the world. My brother is an Arsenal fan, by the way. Yeah, very loyal and very patient.
I'm in between someone who's vain and a hedonist, because I like pleasure a lot.
That's such a fascinating description. I love that.
So
thank you for sharing that. So can you talk to us about sort of like your background and just your career journey and how you started out?
So I finished school in 2017. My first job was as a door-to-door marketer. Or rather, I'll be honest, it wasn't even a marketing job, it was a sales job. Basically door-to-door sales. And I think that was the spark, because it kind of helped me, like, kill shame. I mean, you sell people, what's the worst that can happen? So tell you no, right? From there, if you live in Nigeria, you know what NYC is. So you go to a particular place, teach. And after NYC, I came back to Lagos. Then I got my first real, content marketing job as Kotozo NG as a, quality control for contents. At Kotozo Engine, that was like the foundation of whatever curiosity that has driven my career so far. Because at that job, I worked with extremely curious people, extremely resilient people with high propensity to solve problems. So, like when you work with these people, you just use your path. Work with people who do not have these traits. You are like What time do you help my being? I should not be here. Like, yeah, young. Yeah, exactly. So from there, I was like, okay, I want to learn more. I want to be a digital marketer. You know, then, mid-2018, 2019, the reigning thing was digital marketing. I was able to get into a digital marketing agency, Opera Ads. There I learned how to run ads on Google, I learned how to run ads on Facebook, I learned how to run ads on Instagram. It moved into the COVID period. During COVID, I did a few jobs, most notably, pitch bodies. Yeah, I was very proud of what I was able to do then. Like during lockdown, I was able to like build a community on Twitter from like 0 followers to almost 1K, lost accounts, boost again, from 0 to 1K again. And then there were things that we did, Twitch chats, webinars, email marketing, content marketing as well, bringing people you want to based on the contents like they would like from you. So then I moved to another agency where I was basically the digital marketing lead. My business was everything like social media, ads as well. Did that for about 6 months. Then I joined Eden. I found the opportunity interesting. I found like what Eden was doing interesting. So I joined. At Eden, I have done social media, I have done production, sales, I have done email marketing, I have done ads. Bring all of this together. You learn that, the more things you solve, the more confident you are about your skills in basically knowing how to like penetrate markets, how to find messaging feeds, how to find like use cases for products. Selecting like this, everything in my career has shaped me into what I am today. Also, who knows what's good to be called in the next 5 years? Maybe it's called rocket ship, maybe it's called rocket or something, because 5 years ago, nobody called goods, it was marketing. So I believe in learning skills rather than title.
Okay, that's cool. So what was interesting there is you didn't mention like your educational background.
Oh, yeah.
Interestingly, what did you study?
I studied mass communication back at university from 2013 to 2017, and I finished the what Nigerians call strong 2-1.
Okay, cool. So you studied mass communications, then you got into sales, then you got into content stuff, social media, then marketing, and you've been in that since. That's cool. The next question is kind of around, how did you learn about growth marketing? It seems quite organic from what you've described.
Oh, yeah, exactly what I said, right? That's sometimes people think that growth marketing is, well, like when people hear, oh, what's growth marketing? They think it is a way explaining, it's going to look like a knight in a shiny armor. But it's almost never like that, right? Growth means different things to different companies. And at different stages of the product in the product life cycle, growth means different things at each point. Mm-hmm. For instance, at the beginning of a product, growth might mean awareness, making more people learn more about the product. Or it could mean making the products to be good enough for the market. Or then it might get to a stage where, okay, everyone in the market knows these products, right? Everyone in the market is using these products. How can we get more from people with these products? That's also growth, right? We're going to a stage where it's like, you know what, this product, everyone is this product, how do we stabilize products? So growth means different things for different companies and at different stages of the company, right? For some companies, growth is content marketing. For some companies, growth is ads. For some companies, growth is banners, billboards, radio jingles, TVCs are TV commercials. For some companies, growth is newspaper advertising. For some companies, growth is influencer marketing. It's important to like understand, to be very adaptable. So you know what a company needs and how you can basically be a chameleon to fit into what that organization needs. So growth is not a definition or a thing or like a box, right? Growth is just, oh, this our company now. What we need is to make sure that when people search for this thing, our website is in top. That could mean growth for that company at points. At that point, growth could mean, oh, you know what? Want to grow our social media from 0 to 20,000. That's growth. Right. So growth means different things to different companies. So there's no, like I said, there's no red pill
So how did you learn about all these different, so you've just given us several definitions for growth. How did you learn about it? How did you go from sales to content, social media, to the kind of like business oriented growth metrics that you're talking about?
Yeah. Still ties back to what I said about growth not being stationed to one definition, right? So I just realized that in every bit of my career, I have actually been building growth, right? For instance, when I was working as a door-to-door salesman, that was growth for the company because the company did not invest marketing spend on billboards, on digital advertising, nothing. The only marketing spend we had was for us logistics to move from one location to another. Then that was growth for the company, right? When I was in content marketing, that was growth for the company as well because the biggest driver for revenue for the company at that point was content, right? Was content. So that was growth as well. When I was doing social media for Teach Buddies, that was growth as well because for us to get people wanted, we knew that we'd get them on the internet because people were at home doing nothing. So they needed somewhere to like unleash that attention. I like saying that attention is like matter. You cannot hold attention. You cannot really transfer from one place to another, right? And that's what you're looking for in content. So yeah, you have to find a way to get attention. One way or the other. Are you going to grab their shirt, say, come, yeah? Or are you saying, no, this is honey, yeah? Come and take the honey. So I just, now in retrospect, you look back and you're like, this is good. Then where it might get a bit technical is in the analytical parts and the metrics, right? So metrics could, like I said as well, how good means different to different companies is also how different companies measure growth metrics, right? For the company, the metric for growth is revenue. For the company's metric for growth is volumes, right? Transactions. So you just need to understand what the company wants to work for needs and just adapt to what they need. And I feel like, one thing that makes a good person indispensable is the ability to adapt into whatever a company needs. If a company says, oh, you know what, at this time, once we're running ads, all right, I'll put on my performance marketing hat. If a company says, no, I don't, at this point, we need to like grow on social media. No, I'll be like, okay, no, it's all right. He's going to hire a good social media manager that will do that. And then we'll plan and strategize on what we need to do on that. The company says, no, this is what we need. If I'm not that good there, but I know that I can plan and strategize on this thing, I'll hire somebody to do that as well. It's just very important to know that growth is not defined, right? Growth is different to different people. And it's also how we all define growth in our lives, right? And growth for me is not the same as growth for Oye or growth for Penny. So yeah, that's how I want people to see growth as well.
You teased out a lot of different skills that like one would need to work on if they wanted to move into growth marketing. So thank you.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't really see it that way before. And just the way I think I'm interpreting what you said is that growth marketing is like, it's like a toolkit. So it's like a box where you have kinds of tools in it. And depending on the situation or depending on what problem you're trying to solve in that moment, you just kind of pick the different skills, the different subsets. So if it's the content marketing, you pick that tool and you address the challenge. If it's social media, if it's digital marketing or whatever it is that fits that particular scenario, growth marketing is like the toolkit for all those things. Yeah, that's really interesting. And what is the difference between growth marketing and growth hacking? That's another title I have heard of. It's like someone's a growth hacker. Is that the same thing?
I'll answer this right. Just before answering this as well. Another thing that also makes somebody a good marketer is learning the first principles of growth, right? Which is asking a few questions. What does this company need at this moment? How can they reach it? Who are the potential prospects, potential customers of this company? Where can we reach them? And if you know where we can reach them, how can we reach them? So like, if you're able to answer like these five fundamental questions, then you can build out any growth strategy from there. Then going back to what the difference between a good marketer and a good hacker, I would say growth hacking is under good marketing. It's hacking, right? So for instance, it is a tactic under the growth strategy, right?
Mm.
So for instance, you are doing content, right? Growth for you now at this point is more listens, I guess. More listens, probably more listens and more downloads, right? At this point. So you are doing video. And then after a while, you realize that, this video I'm doing is not working. How about we try to podcast without videos? Let's see. And then you do the one without videos. And then you find that in like 3 months that you've not done videos, you have grown, let's say, by 50%. That is hacking, right? It's just making small changes, small tweaks that actually makes significant changes to your numbers. Yeah. So growth hacking could be finding that, when I use this word to write copy, people are more interested in the contents than when I use this. It is mental. It is that saying 20% off is not as effective as saying 20 pounds off, right? So it is those small tweaks that make significant or little changes to the numbers. So that's what growth hacking means. So when someone says they're a growth hacker, it just means that they are very good at making a lot of experiments that can move.
I was gonna say, it sounds very like experiment, observe, analyze. Like it seems detail oriented, actually. Yeah, very agile. Yeah. So what does a typical day look like for you? So I think you've given us a good understanding of like what is growth marketing, what are some of the key skills, what are some of the things that you need to do and think about for a business. What does a typical day look like?
A typical day is very anxiety inducing. Because due to the fact that you mostly never have direct control over people's behavior, right?
When you say people, you mean like the customers?
Or the market. And then the fact that also growth takes time. So someone might see a message from your company today and they eventually pay like in the next 6 months, right? But then the people setting KPIs for you are saying, no, it's one that person now. And it's just hard to explain some things because how do you tell somebody that, someone saw the ads, they signed up, they done the app, they signed up, but they're going to eventually become a power user in the next 6 months. How do you explain that? But then a typical day is me checking my numbers, me checking what is working and what's not working, because things can break very easily in growth. I promise you. You can think that you have things under control and then you just realize that that ad that I ran has one problem, man. Because I didn't check yesterday, I did not know. That means that for one day the ad did not run. So from my experience, I've learned to like always do my numbers every day. Like always check every day. So like between 9 to 10, I do that, right? And then I say, okay, what's working, what's not working, what can be better? Okay, this thing looks like it's working. How about, let me change this much so that I can become better. But then the flip side of this is that something can be working, say 5 over 10, I'd be like, okay, no, I want 10 over 10 for this, and then make a small tweak, and then it just goes to 0. And they're like, oh, God.
I mean, that's the risk, isn't it?
I left a 5 over 10.
Experimenting.
So, yeah, different experiments. Thinking about different ways to, like, do interesting things. Yeah.
Where do you check your numbers? You said you check your numbers. What? I'm guessing there's like a platform that you...
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, right, it is different things for different people. But then generally, Google Analytics, Mixpanel, Google Sheets, and then generally CRMs, right? So there are different CRMs. There's Intercom.
What does CRM stand for?
Oh, CRM is customer relationship management. So CRMs are tools that help you manage big number together.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, like, in some CRMs, you can see, you can see these tools, right? Oh, how many people are signing up? How many people are paying? Like, basically, what you want them to do. So a CRM can be the tool that you use in checking the numbers of, like, of number of people who are, like, listening to you, right? What tool do you guys use?
Anchor.
That's our analytics.
Yeah, that's our analytics. We have a dashboard so we can see who listened, and it breaks it down like weekly, monthly, yearly, by episode, by geography, gender, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it, guys. That's how my typical day usually is. And then some days I just hyperventilating because I'm like, oh, I've done everything I can do. Nothing's working. Today's I'm like, yeah. I'm proud of myself. Yes.
Do you interact much with other teams? Because this sounds like quite an individual pursuit so far.
Oh, no. Oh, my, no. To see people in growth, in fact, I found that there are times I have done well, and there are times that I think I failed. And the times when I think I did poorly or failed, were times when I was not communicating with the other teams, right? In fact, to be honest, you need to be very aggressive with other teams on how you want things to go, because at the end of the day, when things don't work, you are the one who will take you, like, to say, oh, should you ask somebody, give you money. Why is it not working? Nobody wants to hear that, oh, I asked the designer to give me design and they are slowing it down. But then the app is not working. If the app is not working, can't fight with the app engineer to fix it, right? So, like, that's why you need to be on top of your game.
Mm.
So, like, you know what's working and what's not working, and what can make things work better, right? So, yeah, it's actually a lot of engaging a lot of teams within the company. Yeah,
that's really great, and just like that collaboration, I think is something that is very important for a product's success. Just so that every part of the team is like a well-oiled machine. The question that sort of came to my mind was when you initially talked about how you can't control human behavior, and I was kind of curious about that. Are you looking to control people's behavior, and why is that? And how do you do it?
That's a good question, because I was going to tell you I'm scared of you with your coded.
I know we've had this conversation. Coded before. Bias.
Marketers, I feel like you're trying to get us addicted to stuff.
Can you repeat the end part of the question?
When you talked about just like wanting, like, you can't control human behavior, and it sort of gives me the sense that you're trying to control people's behavior. So why is that? If this is what you're trying to do, how then do you do it?
I know it sounds somewhat, but if you want people to do something, you have to find a way to make them do it, right? If you want people to listen to a podcast, you have to find a way to make them listen to it, right? If you want people to buy a product, you have to find a way to sell it to them. So, like, the goal for you is that you want them to buy, right? You want them to pay money, you want them to do this thing, you want them to do that, you want them to... And then this is now where the growth hacking comes in, right? It is asking yourself, do I say 20% off? You can make experiments to say, oh, we'll say 20% off drive, more people to clear their carts, or will I say 20K off clear people more, off their carts, right? Learn more. Will you say learn more, get people to click on your website, or are we using another CTA, make people to use it, right? So it's different things, right? For instance, when you write an article, you know that people get bored after a while. Maybe like after the first two scrolls. Okay, just ask yourself, do I put an image here to make people more interested in continuing the article, or do I just, you know, think about how to, like, just make my articles two scrolls so that people don't have to scroll down, right? It is making videos. It is making a 5-minute video and saying, no, it's for this 5 minutes, right? I know that people have an attention span of like a minute. So after a minute, what do I add there? Do I add a meme or something to make people more interested in continuing the video, right? So it is different things. So that is how you control people's behavior. Not so, like, when you hear from me, it's not as if I'm trying to be a
master manipulator.
Yeah. It's just studying patterns and behaviors and looking for things that make people move further than they would have wanted to.
It's quite interesting to think about, though. I think, like, in the previous episode, we spoke to UX designer, and he said similar things, right, about like when you're looking at the success of a product or design, you're thinking about behavior. And I think it's something that we're increasingly becoming more aware of when it comes to tech products. Like, I think we didn't realize that these tech companies were actively trying to make stuff that would interrupt or resonate with our behavior in a way that would make us more likely to use it. And I think it's quite interesting now that, like, obviously awareness is growing about that. It's like, how do you, I guess, as on your side of things, for me as a consumer, I might feel like I'm using my phone too much, for example, and certain things like, and you have, for example, on my phone, I have a sleep mode. So at 10:15, all my notifications are silenced. And I know Apple has a similar thing. So it's quite interesting. I feel like we're now at a point where consumers are more aware of like their consumption of products and services, and they're trying to control it. What does that mean for you from your side of things as a growth marketer?
To be honest, it actually gets harder, right?
Mm.
Because, for instance, it is now harder to track ads because of privacy settings and like the whole battle going there.
I always,
right, and all of that
I'm
stuff.
That person who will click I more options. Reject.
You save more
cookies.
Right. To be honest, it just makes the job harder because I knew that when I started doing this, then I wasn't doing it, but I knew that people could track to the last detail. Now it's so hard to do that, right? It's just very hard to do that. So a way to navigate this.
Yes, for consumer rights. Sorry to you, but sorry, yay to for us.
Sorry to this man.
Sorry to this
man. The way to navigate that is, I have found that everything consumer is just psychology and thinking, right? So people say, oh, I don't want them to app, I want them to listen. But then some apps have been able to use gamification to make people use the app more. Mm-hmm. For instance, last week, somebody collected my phone and installed the game and then used the sign up code because, so the more they make other people install and then use the code, the more points they get in the mm-hmm. game, right? So imagine companies doing these things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know that Notion's, AI writer, has did that thing where they are putting people on the leaderboard and then people are sharing and people are signing up. So like, they are using you. They are basically selling for them. But you don't
there are ways, yeah, there are ways around it. Yeah. I guess it forces you guys to be a bit more creative.
Yeah. Sometimes it's also the product being so good that you just talk about to your friends. You tell them, oh, no, it's this thing. It's the real deal. Right. And then you're just selling that way. And you're helping yourself. But then the problem that it creates is that it is harder to track because I'm not there when you're selling to your friend.
Word of mouth, yeah. That's true.
So in my dashboard, I cannot know that. Sometimes it means that I won't know where your friend came from. So yeah, you just have to be more creative about it.
That's the fun of the challenges. Is I have to figure it out. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So if someone was interested in becoming a growth marketer, what kind of learning path would you recommend?
There's no learning path though. It's hard to say learning paths, right? But then I'll use a playbook that a senior growth guy said, and he said that what you advise people is to grow something, right? Grow a YouTube channel, grow a blog, grow a page on Instagram, grow a page on Twitter, grow a community on Facebook, grow a TikTok channel, just grow something, right? And in growing these things, you learn, you pick up the small skills of working in growth, right? Which is learning what works and pumping that, learning what does not work and dropping that, iteration, speedy execution, yeah. So, when you learn how to grow a blog, it's easier to pitch to a company and say, oh, I want to intern with you. I was able to grow my blog from 0 readers to 1,000 readers in 6 months. I'm sure that if I become an intern with you, I'm going to learn this quickly and quickly, right? Yeah, it's easier to get in than just saying, oh, I want to be a marketer. I did a marketing free course on Google or a free course on LinkedIn, right? So yeah, it's easier to come in and say, oh, I did this, I built this stuff.
But when you said there is no learning path, I feel you, because everybody's journey is different. But I guess then the next question would be, what resources would you, maybe just someone who is fresh out of school or someone who is just thinking about a new career path as a growth marketer, where would you recommend I start thinking about jumping in?
The website I would say that you should visit is just consume everything on www.demandcurve.com. Almost everything good is there. Consume the newsletters, read every article on the blog. Basically, that's the place I would say you should start from. And then just be curious about marketing and how to grow. I wouldn't want to get too deep into the learning curve where they are learning too much and not practicing enough.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say, while reading and learning, also grow something as well.
And build. Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, put to practice. Because from what you've said, a lot of it is experimenting, right? There's new, like, laws, consumer rights, privacy laws, different things happen. So even if you learn something, it might not be applicable. So you need to just try. I think that's a common theme with a lot of different tech roles. A lot of it is a lot of experimentation because things are so dynamic, right? So you need to have your finger on what to do at that moment. You've mentioned quite a few skills. Would you be able to give top 3 skills that you think are necessary to be a growth marketer?
Yeah, I think the first skill of anybody growth is actually knowing how to write. One, knowing how to write. Two, understanding the basics of each marketing line. So if you say, oh, I want to do email marketing, like understand the basics of email marketing and how email marketing affects the funnel, the marketing funnel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, know how to write, understand the basics. And then 3, know how to think, right? I know it might sound, yeah, but yeah, thinking that is important. Working in marketing.
How does one learn how to think?
Learn how to think. There's this article there was a time when I would just go on Google and I'll search how can I think better.
I mean, there's a great book called Think Fast, Act Slow that talks about like the way our brain works. Yeah. So
I think the best one that I go back to from time to time is one I'll share in the message section. And it's from Farnham Street Articles, right? It's titled How to Think Better. So yeah, just knowing like how to like structure your thinking just helps, right? When you can think deeply and you can become creative. Learn how to write, understand the basics, and then learn how to think. And then if you have these 3, you can build on anything, I promise you.
Awesome. That's a guarantee by Chidi. If it doesn't work for you, chase him up. It has nothing to do with us.
Yeah, we have his address. We'll send it to you.
No, nice. I like it. I think there's some very good points.
So what are they, on a typical day, what would you say is your most productive time of the day?
Early mornings from like 4 to 11.
Excuse me? 4 a.m.?
Yeah, 4 a.m. to 11.
Wait, I'm sorry. You wake up at what time?
4 a.m., 5 a.m.
Wow. What time do you sleep?
8, 9.
Oh, wow. So we're keeping you up. Thank you. I'm sorry. That's a life hack I'm yet to conquer, the waking up extremely early thing. I can't do it. I can honestly, do it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, you honestly don't have to. I people are different, right? So for me, it's that I get easily distracted.
Mm.
So I need that quiet early in the morning, and I also need that darkness, right? That sense of like everywhere dark, and I'm just looking at my laptop and just doing stuff. Yeah. Then from like 12, I just do operational tasks, like checking with other teammates, checking with people who are owing me work, checking the numbers and everything. But then like when I'm able to think clearly.
Cool. Nice. So now we're moving more into like the meaty section of things. What does the progression path look like for you in your current role? So from what I understand, you're currently like a growth marketer. Is there like a development progression pathway? What does that look like?
Sorry, before you answer that, what's your current official title? Is it growth marketer?
So my official title is engagement and paid marketing specialist. But yeah, like these things are just titles, right? They don't define me, they don't define who I am or person or like my skill sets, right? So I can go to any company and they say that my title is now chief storyteller.
What does progression look like?
Progression, I don't think that much into progression, right? But then I know that in like the next 5 years, I want to be in a place where not necessarily a post leader, but when people are thinking about, oh, this, right? People are like, oh, this guy has done this. So in like the next 5 years, I'm really looking to take on a lot of hard things. Some are most feeling, I'm very sure that some are doing extremely well. But then the main thing is just to keep doing. So next 5 years is basically telling me a lot in my career. So right now, I'm not thinking of career progression.
Okay. But if you were, let's say a random individual is, what could they aim for? So like, what does entry level look like? Mid, and then like, what is like the ceiling? What is the pinnacle of like being a marketer?
There's no ceiling, right?
Okay.
I mean, the sky is big enough. But then again, right? It depends on the company they are working for. I know that some companies do marketer 1, marketer 2, marketer 3, 4, 5, right? To like, maybe get to like CMO. Maybe that's a CMO.
What does CMO mean?
Chief Marketing Officer.
Mm-hmm.
Or some companies call them growth lead or head of growth, right? Some even go as far as doing the VP marketing, VP growth. So yeah, there's no ceiling. Can you go ahead to become the CEO yourself?
Yeah.
Because you understand business very well. You understand what drives businesses. So why not?
Okay. That's cool. It sounds like there's a lot of potential opportunities, and it's kind of up to you as an individual what you want to pursue.
Yeah. And speaking of career progression. So yeah, this is the part which I think is one of my favorite. So let's talk about money. So for a growth marketer, anyone who is going to be getting into this line of work, what's the salary range like? And you can also think about it in terms of just like different progressions or different levels, what that looks like.
But yeah, it depends. Again, I always say it depends on the company you're working for. If you're looking at you work for a company, for a very large organization, right? I'll use like the Nigerian sense, right? It could be making like entry level to making from like 200 to like 250, mid level maybe 300,000 to like 7,000. Seniors.
Is that per month?
Yeah, per month, right? Senior mid level, right? For making like 7 to 1 million. Then senior level. Depending on how good you are with negotiation, right? But then I know that these things are never set in stone. So different companies have like their different budgets for stuff. But to be honest, in the past year or so, companies have become more open to paying people working in marketing good salaries. So yeah, it's a positive from how it was in the past. But yeah. But then just know that if working girls, you can actually like make it cool salaries.
You guys hearing that? Money is this.
There's money to be had. Do you ever do any freelancing, or you're just like?
So yeah, I've done one or two in the past, but at the moment I'm exhausted.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. Final question. What are you most excited about with respect to the future of growth marketing? Like, where do you see your industry going in the next few years? What excites you?
I think what excites me more about the future is that I have not seen everything that I should be seeing. So I know that in the future I'm probably going to work for a company with lots of data, probably millions of data, which means that I'll be able to experiment with different batches, right? So basically, it's the experimentation that makes me excited about the future, because I feel like growth will become very important to every company, and then like it becomes a cornerstone for every company. Yeah, nothing feels as good as knowing that you're important to a company, right? So,
you want to feel relevant, yes, of course.
Yeah, and I also feel like there's also going to be a lot of analysis tools coming up in the future that will just help analyze the data better. Yeah, and then more data you can experiment. Yeah, and then just cool ways to advertise, right? Like when I was a child, one of my biggest fantasy was working in an ad agency, and then we run a campaign where like the message is in the air on hot balloon. I mean, it's happening now. So like, I want to, in the future, run a very out of the world campaign.
Speaking of out of the world campaigns, I saw this video, I think Samsung, they did this. It was like a VR kind of campaign in London. Like, if it was so real, it was like you were in it and you could literally feel yourself in that ad. I think that was something that was really, really interesting. Is that something that you're interested in as well? Something that you've seen around?
Yeah. Can you send me the video?
Yeah. I'll look for it and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I feel awesome. Like marketing doesn't really work on me, but that's not a topic for today.
I think everybody says, actually, I also say that, because advertising doesn't work on me.
Eventually,
yeah.
Eventually, we all know that
is
a lie.
Okay.
It doesn't work on you.
I think most marketing doesn't work. Okay, so for example, we just had Black Friday, right? And I was on Instagram and all these ads were just coming up. And I interacted with a few, but it was because I already had a list of stuff that I wanted to get. And if it matched what was in my head, then I'll click on it. If it didn't, I was like, nah, forget it. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult with marketing and advertising, right? Because sometimes you don't know the source of your desires. It's like, was that just me? Or was that an ad that I saw?
Exactly. And if you were trying to purchase, or you were trying to make a purchase decision, if you had two options, you more likely choose the option that you have actually seen an ad on before. And in a sense, that's actually a way that it's having an influence. Yeah. It may not directly influence you saying, okay, I'm going to go out and buy it.
No, you're actually right. No. I just lied because I have been influenced because... Yeah. I recently bought some gym wear, and this gym wear apparel company, they've been going ham on their Instagram influencing, right? And they've gotten a personal trainer that I really like, this black British woman. And every day I see her in this clothing, right? And I think subconsciously, I'm just realizing now, because I bought stuff from them recently, and I'm like, I'm now realizing, because I saw her in those things and I really like her, it made me, when I thought, oh, I want to get something, I just defaulted to them. Whereas previously, like, I bought stuff from them before, but it's not like a favorite brand of mine or anything like that. So I stand corrected. I am a victim to marketing.
And I think social media even makes it all the more fascinating because, like, there's a lot of social engineering going on. It's like you see it on someone you like or someone you trust. They may not directly say buy, but it's like you're seeing it a lot, and somehow it just like registers in your subconscious.
Yep.
There was one more question about the biggest misconception of growth marketing.
Growth marketing is not set in stone, but it depends on what the company wants.
Thank you, Chidoze. That has been
interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting to learn more about how you're trying to control us all. Thank you.
Buy more things.
No, I'm joking. It's been great. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Do you have any final words for your fans?
No final words.
It's like I've said everything I need to say.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yep. It's bedtime.
Yeah.
It was really nice having this conversation.
Yeah, it was really great.
Cool.
When I see like growth marketing, I've always wondered what exactly it is. Even though I had an idea, you know, digital marketing, content, and all that, but just like digging more into it, I think, yeah. So that was really nice. Thank you. Yeah. Should we say goodbye to the people, Timmy?
Yes. Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 3 of Less Talk Tech Season 2. Really hope you enjoyed our day in the life of our wonderful growth marketer, Chidoze. Appreciate you all for tuning in and hopefully speak to you next time. Ciao.